Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Inside. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, if you or someone you know has been looking to buy a house recently, it is pretty amazing how the market has changed in just a few months. From red-hot sales and astronomical prices to today, where we are starting to see signs of a somewhat more reasonable or normal situation as the market cools. But while it may be less competitive to grab that house of your dreams as supply is on the upswing, it also might be more expensive to borrow the money needed to buy that house, thanks to another upswing, interest rates. We're going to talk about navigating the market, as well as what pitfalls still linger as the economy compromises consumer confidence. Plus, are there any neighborhoods that are still affordable in our area? And we'll look at the challenges lower income and people of color still have trying to buy a home. We have two experts joining us today. First, we get a market update with Ryan Lundquist, a Sacramento real estate analyst and appraiser. Ryan, just a few months ago, this was a completely different situation. I mean, you'd hear stories of dozens or hundreds of people showing up at an open house, lines out the door, the seller getting many offers, many of those offers all cash. I mean, I've heard multiple scenarios of like $100,000 over ask. Things have changed quite a bit. Where are we now?
Yeah, absolutely. The market is completely different. It's like it did a 180. I mean, it really came to a screeching halt just because mortgage rates doubled. And these rates are still really low historically. But, you know, after 11 years of price growth, it's making the payment simply unaffordable for many people.
Yeah, I remember when I was doing stories on, you know, record low interest rates not that long ago during the pandemic. I mean, in some extreme cases, on the good side, like some people were getting like 1 or 2%.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, low rates were a real blessing for a lot of owners and a lot of buyers. And, you know, people are locked in incredibly low, having a great mortgage payment. But at the same time, it made the market completely chaos. And so it, you know, I think injected a steroid into the market, and we never would have seen this type of growth had rates not gone below 3%. And so, you know, it's really felt, I think, inflated in that sense over the past, you know, year and a half.
Yeah, chaos is a good word because, I mean, there were some buyers who were putting in offer after offer and were just, you know, not getting a home. It's such a stressful and also an emotional experience at that. And we were at a point where supply was only at 3 weeks. Now it's at 10 weeks. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, so basically, if no other listings came to the market, then we would have about 9 to 10 weeks worth of supply right now in the Sacramento region. And so enough homes to satisfy that many weeks worth of buyers. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, for almost 2 years straight, we had less than 1 month of supply, which is unheard of. It doesn't happen, but it goes back to that dynamic of rates being so low, changing the market. And then now we've had this very quick change out of that sort of honeymoon market that we were in.
Yeah. Back in June, real estate company Redfin said 15% of people in contract, and this is nationwide, they backed out of their deal to buy. I mean, that's the highest since the start of the pandemic. Are you seeing the same thing here in Northern California, specifically Sacramento?
So I don't have a good stat for that, but I mean, anecdotally, yes, we are seeing more people back out. I think, you know, we're seeing all the stats sort of slow, where about 47% of listings have a price reduction, or most notably, you know, in the region, over 50% fewer homes that sold in June for new construction. And so compared to last year. And so in speaking of backing out, you know, a lot of people backed out of those contracts for new construction. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of common. I think buyers these days, they're more picky about getting into contracts and more picky about staying in contracts.
Is that regardless of the price point?
Yeah, I think there's no price point that's immune from a slower trend. And so I think sometimes people think that, well, you know, one price point is, you know, doing something different. But I'd say that all ships rise and fall with the tide. And so, you know, we're seeing this dynamic where sort of everything has, you know, slowed from where it was.
Can this all be traced back to the rise in interest rates? Are there any other factors at play?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, there's consumer confidence, you know, but that's, you know, tied with mortgage rates. But I would say that, I mean, mortgage rates basically doubling is the X factor. And so it fundamentally changed the market as soon as that happened. And so, you know, there's always reasons why people buy and sell, you know, job market and economy and such. But, you know, I think right now we're sort of eating uncertainty salad. And so there's a lot of people who, you know, are considering, you know, not just mortgage rates, but the security of their job and the future and gas prices and all these things. But I think in terms of housing, it really, you know, squashed the appetite when rates went up. So I'd say that's hands down the number one factor.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to buyers, and I mean, I think earlier on in this year, I mean, it was very much a seller's market. Has the scale been tipped? I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing. Do buyers have more control over the market now?
They absolutely do. I wouldn't say that it's a hardcore buyer's market where you can offer, you know, 50% below the list price. I mean, we're not in that sort of discounted market. But, you know, say, for instance, last year in July, you know, we had, you know, 73% of sales sell above the list price. Okay. And that's a crazy number because it should be what it is right now, 38%. And so, you know, we still have this dynamic where, you know, almost 40% of properties are getting multiple offers, but, you know, that number's not 70%. And I think buyers right now, they can take more time. Also, it's taking longer to sell. And by the end of the year, it should be taking about 2 weeks longer to sell than it was last year at the same time. And, you know, that's sort of a healthy dynamic. We're getting away from this market that was on steroids into some of the stats looking normal and some of them not.
Yeah. In your blog, I found this interesting, and I could relate to that, you know, when shopping for a home. You equate dating advice with real estate advice. I mean, it is very much an emotional experience. Explain some of the similarities when perhaps you're counseling someone.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times you think about real estate advice today, it sounds very similar to dating advice. So you'd say, you know, be patient, be realistic, you know, have reasonable expectations. You know, you have one shot to make a first impression, or, you know, it's different today. It's not like what it used to be. And it might take time to find that one person. And so, you know, it feels like straight out from a dating book. And even the photos online might actually look better in the photos than they do in person.
That is very true. So if you're a seller at this time, what's your best move?
I think sellers need to be realistic about their expectations in the market. Sellers need to price correctly. They need to stop focusing on capturing this mythical Bay Area unicorn. Okay, only 15% of all sales are cash transactions in the region. And so start aiming for 85% of the market that's actually financed. Okay, and you better be ready to give credits back to buyers. You know, gone are the days of asking buyers for their firstborn children and to go 30,000 above asking to waive contingencies. Like, we're not in that market anymore. And so buyers are more looking and going, well, you know, we might be able to get in below the list price. And so I think sellers need to be prepared to meet buyers within this dynamic, how things have changed.
You touched upon at the start of our conversation, new construction. I mean, this also comes as California, and we know this. We have a housing shortage, but it does seem like homes are being built all over the place around here these days, like West Roseville, Natomas. How are they faring in this market?
So, I mean, I think new construction, you know, is feeling the sting of higher mortgage rates just like everyone else. The dip in volume, though, was a little more substantial. Like in June, volume was down 25% in the region as a whole for the resale market. So anything that's not new construction, we had 25% fewer sales. Okay, but new construction was 58% fewer sales. And so I would say that in a lot of regards, I mean, new construction, it looks like a lot of the rest of the country sort of, you know, taking a beating where, you know, buyers, you know, were in contract and then rates shot up, they got out of contract. And so I think builders right now are, you know, sort of just trying to meet buyers where they're at, you know, give more credits and give more concessions. And so kind of doing, I think, what we're seeing happen with sellers, mm-hmm. you know, in the resale market.
Yeah, this is still just such a fluid situation. You know, say we have you back on here in 6 months at the start of the new year. What do you think the headline will be in Sacramento real estate?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea.
You don't have a crystal ball?
Yeah, I would say my crystal ball is, full of duct tape all over it. And I think, nobody predicted the market that we're in right now. And so nobody knew that mortgage rates were going to, double and completely change the market. Had rates still been at, 3% right now, we wouldn't be having this conversation. What we would be saying is, 70% of homes sold above the list price. And so I think if anything, though, if mortgage rates continue to rise, that's the expectation, then that's going to mean there's going to be more supply on the market and demand's going to shrink. And so if anything, I think buyers are poised to gain more power unless something happens to interrupt that trend. That would be sort of my prediction over the next few months, because we've sort of seen the real estate temperature getting turned down, week by week, and I would expect for that to continue unless something happens to change that.
Finally, I mean, this is a big life decision, whether you're selling or buying a home. What advice do you have for someone who's kind of weighing their options right now?
Well, I'd say weigh your lifestyle and your finances, and I think everyone looks at real estate and says, the best time to buy is, at the very low point in a market. But oftentimes, lifestyle doesn't collide with that moment. And so if your lifestyle's, mandating a change right now and you're ready to buy, then, I would say to really make sure that you're comfortable with the mortgage payment. Take your time shopping, just like you would with dating, and really make sure that you pick out the right house in the right location, because you have a lot more options today. And so, that's sort of what I would say to buyers.
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And that is Ryan Lundquist, an appraiser in Sacramento and real estate analyst. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. We're talking about real estate in the Sacramento area, what's hot, what's not, what's changing, and why. Our next guest is Key Matthews, a broker and owner of Matthews & Company Realty Group, also a host of a radio talk show called Selling Sacramento, and has been in real estate for about 20 years. Good morning, Key.
Good morning.
All right, you've been doing business in our area for about 2 decades. What's special about real estate in Sacramento?
I think one of the most special things about real estate in Sacramento is our geographic position in the state. I don't think people realize that we are the capital of the fifth largest economy in the world. Strategically, we are between the Bay Area, Napa, and Tahoe. And people think that if you live in California, you must live next to a Hollywood movie star, but we know that's not true. The other thing, too, is that we've been known as a cow town for a long time. And so things here for decades have been affordable. But you get big companies like Amazon and Apple quietly setting in, and other large technology companies, and Fortune 500 companies like Centene that have literally built their headquarters here, and they are hiring. Centene is poised to hire 5,000 people at that headquarters in top positions where they're looking for the best and the brightest. So they're bringing incomes into our economy that are 6- and 7-digit figures. These are people who are looking for housing and entertainment and education and building their families here as a result. So that changes the economic landscape and the value of Sacramento. So our little quiet cow town, no longer that quiet.
It certainly is changing. And when you use the word affordability, that's obviously relative and has changed drastically in the last
Absolutely.
Couple years in Sacramento. Let's drill down on neighborhoods, because it's not even across Sacramento. And
Right.
let's drill down on some communities that are getting left out of this.
Sure. So when I say affordable, I actually did a series of videos 7, 8, 9 years ago, way before the housing uptick took off. And I was telling people there are certain communities that are being turned over that they should probably start looking at and paying closer attention to. Areas like Meadowview, Valley High, Del Paso Heights, Rosemont, different areas like that. Because at the time that we saw a downfall in real estate, the crash, 2008, when these homes went into foreclosure, we had Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac put these houses back on the markets through agents, through programs such as First Look programs. These programs mean that only first-time home buyers had the opportunity for the first 20, 30 days to buy these homes. So now you get these neighborhoods that were once crime infested or not so, you know, nicely looked at, turning over into owner-occupied. They may have been at one point a large rental percentage, and now they're turning into owner-occupied. So they're getting a bad rap sometimes in the news because you hear South Sacramento incident happened. So now the entire South Sacramento is labeled in a negative light. However, you go into these specific neighborhoods and you see this adorable home. You see this adorable street where the neighbors are taking care of their yards and people are playing and going to work and stuff. So these neighborhoods were getting overlooked. But as we got into this entire, you know, where the interest rates drops, where COVID kicked in and real estate prices skyrocketed, then people paid attention to those neighborhoods because now all of a sudden they were the most affordable.
Yeah. And there are other areas. I mean, top of mind for me is Oak Park and experiencing, you know, that word gentrification.
Right.
And even Del Paso Heights, there's a robust art district there. I mean, what have you seen in recent years? I mean, I've been in Sacramento for 6 years and it's changed dramatically. You've been in real estate here for 2 decades.
Right. Yeah. So the changes have just been so extreme and it depends on, you know, what's happening at the time. So we talk about gentrification. We know that I think Oak Park is probably one of the biggest, most visible pieces of gentrification in Sacramento with the changes that Mayor Kevin Johnson brought and the trigger that caused. You've got now people living a fine line of gentrification because you still have a neighborhood of individuals who live in Oak Park who say, we're not going to allow this to happen. So there's this, it's almost like it's trying to happen, but it also looks like they're trying to find a happy medium between what was and what's trying to be, which is very nice.
Yeah.
But then you have other neighborhoods like New Helvetia down the road at the end of Broadway where there was an attempt for gentrification. And I am actually starting to see lots of sales happen in that area. I personally know of a couple of sellers who said they're selling because it's not turning out to be what they thought it would. So they were trying to gentrify that piece, and I'm not sure that that's going to work out that well.
And when you talk about gentrification, I mean, there's the issue of displacement and a lack of home ownership when it comes to race and ethnicity. Why does the percentage of Sacramento home ownership remain low for African Americans?
So, and this kind of takes us back to racism, redlining, codes and covenants and restrictions. This is a heavy question because it's something that we don't really want to deal with, but it is a real reason, a foundational reason why we are where we are, why these numbers aren't changing a whole lot. There was a point in history where Black people were ostracized to certain parts of town to live. They were not allowed to live according to the covenants that were being created by builders, that were being enforced by the real estate industry. There was the National Association of Real Estate Builders in the early 1900s that implemented these covenants saying specifically, no persons, I'm just going to read this straight out of the book, no persons of any race other than the Caucasian race shall use or occupy any building or any lot, except that this covenant shall not prevent the occupancy by domestic servants of a different race domiciled with an owner or tenant. And that prevented Blacks from moving into these neighborhoods, Tahoe Park, Southland Park, Lamb Park, you know, Curtis Park, all of those, the nicer neighborhoods. And it pushed Black people to these neighborhoods like Del Paso Heights, where there were no services, there were no good school systems, there were no libraries, no emergency mm-hmm. services, none of that.
How is it now, though? Is it more challenging to get qualified for a home loan, or maybe you're qualified for less?
Well, I think that because of these policies that were placed in effect, we're seeing it in a less direct manner. So back in those days, back in the early 1900s, even as in the 50s, it wasn't until 1968 when the Fair Housing Act was actually introduced that it became illegal, lawfully illegal, to discriminate. But when you have decades and decades of conditioning that this is how it's supposed to be and this is what's supposed to be done, you just because you create a law doesn't take the behavior away. And so now we have one of the biggest challenges with minority buyers are finances and credit, coming up with the amount of money needed for a down payment, coming up with a good credit score. So introducing, now you get introduced to the FHA loan and down payment assistance programs. With those programs, they are catered towards the African American community to help meet those needs. Ironically, these are also the same loans that are at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to presenting an offer to a seller. And here's an offer that you have that's an FHA loan, and an offer that you have that's conventional, an offer that's all cash. So if I am a listing agent, I'm presenting offers to my client, and I'm encouraging them, which one is the strongest one to take? Typically, a majority of the time, that seller is being told that that conventional or that cash is the best and strongest loan to take. And if we're looking at everything on paper, you know, for what it is, it does look that way. But the indirect discrimination that's happening, as you can see, is that a lot of African-American buyers are losing out on the opportunity just because of the loan that they qualify for.
Yeah. Finally, Key, you know, given that, you know, there is a cooling housing market, what advice do you have for minority buyers, maybe for who are first-time home buyers, to take advantage of the market right now?
So I am asking and telling buyers and minority buyers, I call them the most vulnerable buyer. I'm telling the most vulnerable buyer right now that if you are in a position to afford the loan, it's always a good time to buy, but you have to look at your personal situation. However, when you buy a home is supposed to present a certain amount of financial security in times of economic downturn. And a few years ago, I was explaining to people, and I'm still saying it today, we don't know. It looks like that economic downturn is starting to happen. This is not a good time to buy a home at the highest interest rate, at the highest purchase price point. Give sellers time to calm down and let these prices calm down. As a matter of fact, I read an article yesterday that ARMs are coming back out, adjustable rate mortgages. Mm. And so the adjustable rate mortgage was also that part of the loan programs that got a lot of people in trouble in 2008. And so be careful as those come back out, because if you get an adjustable and rates go up, your mortgage rate, your monthly mortgage payment can literally increase by a few hundred dollars if that rate goes up. And then that puts you in financial trouble.
Yeah. I mean, a percent, let alone a half a percent, can be extraordinary.
Right.
When you're buying a home. Key, thank you so much for
your
advice.
Thank you.
Key Matthews is a broker and owner of Matthews & Company Realty Group and hosts a radio talk show called Selling Sacramento. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.